And here we go! This is the Ignite Rock Podcast, where 1 week I interview those who are doing awesome stuff with WordPress, and the other week I share some tips and advice on making the most out of your online business and career. Thank you for tuning in, and now let's get straight on to the show. And here we go, everyone. This is going to be a fun one today because I've got Jamie Slutsey on the line today, calling all the way from the US, and I'm really excited because this is something very different. And I'm not going to say too much about what we're going to talk about because it is quite different. And I've even learned about Jamie, what she does. I was intrigued. I'm like, I have to speak to Jamie. So I thought, let's get it going. So Jamie, thank you for coming on. Really appreciate your time and effort to be here. And I guess we just start off with, you know, just tell us about yourself, who you are, where you're from, and how did you get to where you are today?
Well, thank you so much for having me on the podcast. It's always fun to talk to podcasters and podcast listeners. So I am based out of Seattle, Washington, so pretty far away from you. And I was a WordPress freelancer from about 2010 until about 2016-ish, at which point I took that freelancing skills and honed it in on one specific market, which is online virtual summits. So I kind of started as a freelancer, trying to get my feet wet, figure out what I wanted to do with WordPress. And then some of my clients were like, heard about this virtual summit thing. Do you think you can pull it off? And as someone who has her degree in computer science and is a total techie and an integration specialist, I'm like, this is my jam. And so I really kind of dove straight in. And now I produce virtual summits for all sorts of people, all sorts of creatives, solos, duos, corporations, all sorts of people like that. And use WordPress because that's the right place to be doing it.
Awesome. And that's one thing I've noticed as well, is that you are a techie in your personal life, in your career, you know, computer science as well. So that tells you everything about technology and computing and stuff. So, you know, I have noticed, you know, when reading about you is that, you know, you help provide like tech-based solutions to your clients. And am I right in thinking that you have a lot of focus on the health and fitness industry as well? Because that's what I've noticed.
Yeah, you know, I have dabbled in and out of health and fitness since about 2009. I owned a fitness business for a little while. I'm a certified personal trainer. I have a real passion for fitness. I made my business brand about fitness, but I've really transitioned out of working just with the fitness niche and working much more with anybody who's got a message to deliver. I find that, you know, fitness people, it's a great industry. It is so, so difficult to make a name for yourself in that industry. And because my expertise is truly technology, I was not finding success for myself personally in that space. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to work with fitness professionals and other people who are making names for themselves. So yes, you absolutely read about me, right? I am a techie, but I have this passion for fitness.
It's a good combination. You know, why not? It's great. And, you know, this is a thing that people kind of try to niche themselves in certain areas. And, you know, I think that's what you're trying to do as well, because you're not just another, you know, developer kind of thing. You have your own niche and you're doing, you know, virtual summit and stuff like that. And this is my next point is, what is a virtual summit? What is the summit model? You know, how can you, can you explain that to me? I just don't understand it completely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's probably the question I get asked the most. Like, I think my mom's asked it about 40 times already, which is, you know, I've gotten better at explaining it. So a virtual summit is kind of like a webinar on steroids. It is back to back to back to back webinars, and they're conversational. So they're very much like a podcast, you know, like taking a season of a podcast and condensing it into 4 or 5 days. It's a bunch of information all based around one specific topic or theme, and it's delivered free through a website, and it's usually 24, 48, or 72 hours. The content's available for free, and they're all video interviews, so they're engaging. It's not like you're just selling transcripts or anything like that. So you can actually sell the videos afterwards, and that's how you monetize it. Or actually, a lot of times we'll sell it starting from the get-go as a less expensive option. But being able to sell those video content for long term, the virtual summits work really, really well in the health space and in the fitness space. You know, when you're solving someone's big problem, you know, I just finished a summit not that long ago, about a specific medical condition, and the host was interviewing all sorts of medical professionals who had a lot of experience in this particular thing. And this summit was solving pain points, was helping people start to feel better because they got the information they needed, and it was all centrally located. And, you know, other industries there's some WordPress summits out there. I know I've seen a couple of them, but any industry where you're providing an influx of knowledge and you're helping people have an opportunity to take that and to do something better for themselves or their community with it works in the virtual summit model.
Is there, you know, a timeline of how long it should be? Because I know you offer like a 12-week summit kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, is that recommended?
So the live summits run 4 to 8 days. And so when I say 12 weeks, I say it takes about 12 weeks to put a summit together.
Right.
So, you know, like when you're starting to interview people or ask people to be on your summit, all the way through to the date that it goes live, there are a lot of pieces that have to take place, and it takes about 3 months to get there, you know, because you want to remember that you're not just launching it on the day it goes. You have to get your affiliates in order, and you have to get your marketing in order, and you have to get signups and all of these other things. So those are part of that 12-week process. And, you know, for me, my biggest work period is from 8 weeks out to 4 weeks out, because that's when we're putting all the technology together and in place so that the website works the way it needs to, the emails work the way they need to, and all of that. And it's a lot of fun. A lot of work. But a lot of fun.
Well, it's good. You enjoy it as well. And that it sounds like a lot of things to think about. And you're right, your email list, your affiliate, your website, your video technology and your content and whatever. It's like, wow, it's a lot of work that you have to do. And, you know, that's kind of my next point. It was about, you create a lot of content then, from what it seems. And, you know, people talk about, you know, being online, you have to create content online, you have to get involved with content marketing and such like that. You know, do you have a system when it comes to creating content online? Do you have a particular model? Do you have a particular style, preference? Is there, what is your way of creating content that is most engaging to your audience?
You know, it's so funny that you asked that, because my audience is still being honed in, because I work with so many of my clients' audiences. You know, like I do so much work within the summits themselves. And so it's a lot of it is social media. And if they have had had a blog or a business that's been around for a while, then we definitely use content marketing, and we use their blog to get people excited and ready for the summit. But if they're starting brand new and this is kind of their initial lead gen tactic, then they oftentimes, the best way to go is with a combination of organic and paid on Facebook. So that's kind of where we end up.
No, it's because, you know, it's always important to kind of diversify your, traffic sources. You know, you don't want to depend on one thing only. You know, you have your organic, you have your paid, you have your social media as well, and all these things you talked about. You know, you're getting your lead gen, you're getting your email list created as well. You know, that's at the end of the day, it's a good thing. I don't think you should kind of focus and hone only on one traffic source. I think if you do that, kind of putting all your eggs in one basket, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I tell my clients that, you know, I mean, getting on podcasts, it's not like, oh, I have to get on podcasts, but getting on podcasts in order to talk to people about what you're doing is fun. And it's a great content strategy. It's something that I love personally. And I love telling, you know, helping my clients see that. I also think that, you know, guest posting or having opportunities to be in front of someone else's network. I mean, this is the same for just about any industry. Anytime you can get on someone else's platform, then you are, you know, one step further, because you're one step removed from those people and you're just going to provide them with something great value that makes it worthwhile for them to become part of your network.
It's very true. And it's something that, you know, when people talk about, you have, for example, a blog post and that is for one particular audience. If you repurpose it into a YouTube video, you know, that could be, you know, for another set of audience that you would not have reached unless you created that video, for example. So, you know, again, there's a whole lot of benefit of kind of, you know, get your income, not income stream, your traffic sources all different direction and stuff like that. Makes sense. It makes sense to me. And I'm nice to hear that you kind of follow that philosophy as well.
Absolutely.
Kind of great. Yeah. So then, you know, outside of a summit then, you know, we talked about WordPress and you build WordPress website as well. You know, I'm curious, how did you first came across with WordPress and what experience and what was that like? You know, what was your first experience like with WordPress?
Okay. Yeah. So you're taking me back to 2010. So I think WordPress was still on like 1.something at that time. Okay. So we're going back. Maybe it was on 2-something, but I know it was definitely before WordPress 3. And I was actually teaching a fitness class. And one of the gals in my fitness class, she and her mom owned a hosting company. And I said to her, I said, you know, I really want to, I was still working corporate. I really want to do something in addition to the fitness that takes me out of corporate. And she looked at me and she says, learn WordPress, pick up WordPress. And I said, okay. She said, we'll host your domain for you. Just pick it up, see what you think. So I bought my domain and they hosted it. I installed WordPress and I looked at these themes and this stuff and I'm like, I can't tweak as much as I want to tweak. So probably within the first week of when I was in there, I started playing with CSS, and that was love at first sight. I became a CSS junkie. Love it. I was very, very early on using media queries to create mobile responsive. I mean, it was before mobile responsive was really a thing. I was like, hey, why can't this look right? And I went in and I'm like, okay, let me figure it out. So I said it earlier, I'm a techie. I'm a total techie. I'm a tinkerer. I'm just going to make it work. And so that was really my first experience with it. And then I just started offering, you know, hey, can I build you a website? You know, let's see how it works. And, you know, I mean, I started building websites for just a couple $100s because I had to get my feet wet. When I quit my corporate job, I had 6 websites on the books. So that kind of gave me some stability. Of course, I was a mom at the same time. So, you know, I was working at the computer late at night and things like that. But, you know, I took to WordPress because of the way my brain works and the way that I like to see things. And I think that user experience is so important online that it made it really easy to be able to focus on that. I don't know. And I guess the other thing is because I have such a technical background, I got into the PHP pretty quickly and I'm like, I get this. And so I could read the code. I didn't always want to write code, but I could write, you know, little, snippets. I could write some custom loops and things like that. So that kind of separated me from, as other people who were like me, who were just kind of getting started, was I already had this toolkit that I was able to tap into.
Wow, it really is love at first sight then.
It really was.
Wow, because what I like is that you said you kind of played with it, you know, just look under the hood kind of thing and find out what's there. You kind of tweak and break things and just to see what's like. And I think that's one of the best way to learn it, because I can relate to what you're saying. I'm not a developer. I can understand code, but I still like to experiment with what's going on under the hood. And I still like to experiment and see what can I do to improve X, Y, and Z. And even just experiment with, you know, building something from scratch. Who knows? But you learn from that, which I agree with. And it makes total sense that with your computer science background, with your technical background, and, you know, PHP and CSS and all that stuff, which is perfect, obviously, for WordPress, it makes sense that you kind of really went toward WordPress and you got stuck with it and you just love it as well. So it's amazing. I think it's pretty cool. So, and it's amazing that you kind of, what it sounds like anyway, you sounded like you learned by yourself, isn't it? You kind of like built it from a ground up and you just learned by playing with it, reading and all that stuff, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I am definitely a self-taught WordPress developer. That's kind of how I described myself when I was talking about it. But then, in order to validate that, I felt like I always had to fall back on my computer science degree. And it's like, yes, I am self-taught. But I'm self-taught with a big, huge, you know, asset, you know, in my toolbox, you know, versus somebody who is self-taught, who has a graphics background.
Yeah.
They and I have very, very different tool sets, and we are both good at what we do, but what we do is not the same. So that you can be very successful at a, you know, self-taught with a graphics background or with a marketing background or with a computer science background or with all these other backgrounds. It's just we become a different people based, you know, and different types of businesses are going to look at us and say, yes, I want to work with you, depending on what that background really is.
Yeah, makes sense. And there's nothing wrong with being self-taught, you know, at least you kind of, you know, built yourself up by yourself at home on the side kind of thing. Nothing wrong with that. I think it's a great thing to do. So obviously then in that sense, you kind of offer obviously WordPress sites to your client. Why do you use WordPress for your client? What do they get out of it?
I actually think that most of my clients don't have a clue what they get out of having a WordPress site. What they do get is a reliable site that isn't going to break. You know, they get something that we can do a lot of visually compelling things. We can have a lot of components working together that if we had used any other building platform, it wouldn't have made quite as much sense. It wouldn't have been quite as easy. It wouldn't have been quite as seamless for them. They may have had to have more involvement. My ideal clients, they really, I want them to focus on their content. I want them to focus on their summits and what they're putting out there and their copy and things like that. I don't want them to have to worry about the platform that they're on. And so I just don't give them the option. I have one client that had pushed back on me and said, I don't want to use WordPress. And I conceded with them, but they're doing most of their website. I'm doing more consulting work. So that worked out. So, because like, I'm like, I don't want to. I want to work with WordPress. I want to work with the tools that I want, you know, that I work with, the page builder that I work with, the environment, all of those details. I've kind of honed in exactly how I want to do it. And so I don't really want to have someone tell me what they're going to do. Now, if someone hires me later on in the process and they're on WordPress and they're using a different page builder, yeah, of course, I'm going to use it because one page builder is not that different from another.
Yeah, the general idea is kind of similar, isn't it? But you're right. If you're so focused on WordPress and you specialize in that and you know how it works, you know, it's quite hard to kind of, at the very beginning anyway, to listen to your client and they say, oh, I don't want to use WordPress, I want to use something else. And you're like, oh, God, no. Maybe not the best kind of client to work with.
Yeah.
It's tricky. Well,
yeah, exactly. Exactly. And there are some clients that, you know, if they came to me and said, I want to use this platform or that platform, I'd be absolutely not. But the platform that these clients chose was something that I wasn't like 100% opposed to. So that helped. But the content, you know, management that comes with WordPress and being able to have custom post types and being able to have all of these other pieces inside there makes pulling together all this vast amount of content efficient. You know, and then structuring it, you know, because oftentimes someone who's hiring me to do their first summit, it's not their only summit. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of have the foresight of planning the page structure and the modularity of everything so that we can put something else right inside and on top of what's already there. Even though it's going to have a different vibe for summit number two, summit number three, and number four. But if I didn't have that foresight, or if we didn't have the flexibility within WordPress to change our structure, you know, I mean, all you have to do is create a new top level page and throw everything underneath it. And you've created a new set of category, you know, a new organizational structure. And I love that about, you know, WordPress. You really have that ability.
True. No, that flexibility is really important, actually. I can imagine for you, as you said, custom post type and all these things, you know, it gives you a lot of room to kind of do a lot, you know, to grow and to be really, really flexible about what you could do with it. And it is interesting that when you have certain clients who maybe you're not in the industry that we're both in terms of the technical, WordPress, digital website, whatever it is, and they don't want to use WordPress, or they have a particular idea of using something else. And I always find that interesting. But once you get into it, once you explain to them why the benefit of using WordPress, why you should use it, you know, well, in most cases anyway, I think it works. I think it works for me anyway. And thankfully, most of my clients, you know, work with WordPress, and most people use WordPress. But I guess you're right. You can use any other content management system, but, you know, you want to do what you're best at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that I know a lot of people push back on with WordPress, and I'm sure you've heard this as well, is it's so complicated in there. It's so overwhelming. And so this is one of the hacks that I do almost 90% of the time when I'm working with a client, is I create multiple user profiles for them. They have their admin one that they're only allowed to go in once a month to update their plugins. They have their editor that they only use when they're editing, and they have their author profile for when they're actually putting content in there. And I love having that structure in place because it's less overwhelming. When they go in on a day-to-day basis as an author, they see so little. They just get in, do the work, and get out. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing this for years now with my clients, and they are like, okay, on the 5th of every month, that's when I log in as the admin. And these are the tasks that I do. And then on whatever day of the month it is, they need to do anything that's at the editor level. We that gets scheduled. And so they're generally in there, and it's not overwhelming because they're not seeing plugins. They're not seeing updates. They're not seeing all these other things that can get in the way of doing work. And I think that's probably the biggest hack that I've implemented for my clients. And I'm sure your audience is going to write that one down and take it with them going forward.
Well, I'm thinking, I can't imagine what their face would be like when they have the admin access and they look at everything that's there. And I'm thinking, oh, God, editor, plugins, what's all this? And yeah, that would be overwhelming. But I know exactly what you're saying, because with certain people, I give them a certain access level, just to keep it simple for them. If they only want to write a blog post and that's it, then they don't need to have access to the editor and to add new plugins and stuff like that. They don't need it. Just have access to the post and the page, and that's it.
Exactly. It's really important to understand the client and understand what their resistance, especially if they are resistant to WordPress, what is that resistance and how can we help them overcome it? Then you also have all these people who have no clue. What is WordPress? What is some of these other platforms? They don't know A from B. So those ones are kind of easy because you just guide them down the road you want.
Well, so then this kind of leads me to my next question then is, you know, obviously a lot of people have trouble with using WordPress. So what advice would you give to those who are having trouble with WordPress or even starting using it, what advice would you give to those people?
So someone who's just like installed it for the first time and, you know, and getting going in there. Goodness. Follow someone else's script. Like seriously and truly go out on the internet and find a methodology of how to set up the site that you can resonate with the author, you know, and then, you know, take your time. I mean, you don't have to do it all instantly. You can do it over time. Those are probably the two things. Is like, you know, it's so funny because posts are right at the top of right underneath the dashboard that you've got posts. But in reality, that's not where you need to be starting. You know, there's so many things you need to be doing before writing your first post. And they're little things like, you know, it would be nice if there was a guide that sat on top of WordPress that, okay, are you a first time? I mean, and there's a little bit of guidance and stuff, but something that's so specific to, okay, pick from one of these three layouts, you know, like really simple, like putting a theme in place and making sure that, you know, that you're just starting from, you know, with a little bit of hand holding. And since there isn't anything unless it's from the host level, which, you know, a lot of the hosts are putting in their own front end, you know, on top of WordPress to guide you through. If there isn't one, I can think of a few that are out there. I can't remember exactly what the sites are though. I can probably provide them if you need me to afterwards, but just guides to getting started.
It's very true that, you know, there are a lot of resources out there and, you know, you don't have to do it on your own. And you can follow, as you said, someone else's script on the guide from starting from scratch or from starting to get the best theme or host or whatever. You're right. You know, you can kind of follow other people's way of doing it and how they've done it, learn from their experience, and then you can copy it. On the other hand, yeah, you're right. You don't have to do that.
Yeah. And one of the things that I like about that is that you could follow someone's blog. You could follow someone on YouTube. You could follow someone on their Facebook page. You can meet them where they're at and where you're at to get the information you need. And the other huge recommendation is as long as you're getting a good host, you can lean on the host support. You know, you can lean on them. You know, there are some really amazing hosts out there that will give you way more than they ever, you know, intended, as advice and guidance and kind of where to go and stuff like that. Yeah. I guess my only rule of thumb with people is that if they're installing something free, like a free plugin or a free theme, to only ever install ones that are in the WordPress repository. That's kind of one of those big ones that, you know, sometimes can get overlooked because you want to make sure that there's been some level of validation, legitimate validation, and that helps with that.
I think especially if you're starting out, you know, if you're going to download plugins from another website, and there are plenty of legit website that sells plugins, and, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I think you're right. If you're starting out, just go to the repository. Read the ratings, read the reviews, recent ones as well, not just the overall one. Read about the people who made it, and obviously read how other people are using it, how other people rate it as well on their own blogs, so on and so forth, just to get an idea of what that plugin is like.
Absolutely.
So you're right.
Yes, absolutely.
It's kind of the safest way. Just download from there, and even the process of installing it is easier. If you're not a technical person, and you have to download a zip file, and then you have to import it, and all these things.
Oh, right. Yeah. No. Do it from inside WordPress, inside the repository. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, and I say that because, you know, there are plenty of really good premium plugins and premium themes out there that you do have to buy from outside. But when you're talking about the free stuff that, you know, you want to just play around and try out, then, you know, starting from the repository is always my recommendation.
It's a good advice. I think you're right. There is some kind of validation and reviews set when you go to the repository. And you just have to, you know, follow the common sense, especially if you see a plugin that has not been updated for a very long time or over 2 years. They come up with that warning. You know, you see that the last update was, you know, maybe years ago or 6 months ago, 12 months ago, you should really think about whether it's worth installing it or not if it's not been maintained. So again, just follow that.
There is actually one free plugin that I use pretty extensively that hasn't been updated in 2 years. And it feels so weird, but it's a legit plugin. It just works. They don't need to, you know, improve it. It's where it needs to be. It's doing what it needs to do. It's quite funny. I'm almost like, okay, they just need to submit an update to say that they're still alive.
You're brave, because I can't do that. I've seen a lot of plugins, and they're well known and they're run by like big names, but they haven't been updated for years. Even then, I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want to install that, and just in case it crashes my site. But again, if you want to test it, you know, if you have a good host provider, a managed WordPress hosting especially, and if they have a development site or a staging site, and you want to test whatever you have, then okay, you can give it a shot. I'm not gonna say do it and install old plugins, and you know you'll be fine. But sometimes you just have to just follow your guidance, your gut feeling, common sense, and think about whether it's worth doing or not. And obviously, test it at the end of the day.
Yeah, and have a backup. Have a backup before you're doing that stuff. You know.
Oh yeah.
And if you have a backup and you don't know how to use the backup, have somebody on speed dial who knows how to restore that backup if you need to.
Or obviously, you can use the support of your host provider, and you know, sometimes a good one they will have their own backup, and it's so useful, so important to have a backup. You just never know what's going to happen. Never know. So, you know, just be careful out there. The big bad
word. Absolutely. We're all in this world together.
Well, that's exactly. Follow your common sense and just, you'll be fine. You know, just don't do anything crazy out there. You'll be fine.
Totally.
In terms of, you know, about yourself, I would like to know is, what is your biggest strength?
Oh, definitely my intuition. Just understanding what the client actually needs versus what they're saying. For sure. You know, like they think that they, you know, that they need this, but in reality, they need something, you know, to 70 degrees off from where they think they need it and what they're saying. And seeing long picture, like long term, you know, not just seeing the immediate. When I was just building websites and not doing the summit stuff, I developed a 12-month program with my clients. So we would get the site up in the first 3 months, and then they'd have an iteration every couple of months for the rest of the year, because I can guarantee they're not going to be doing 6 months from now what they think they were going to do before they started their website.
I think that's a really good skill to have. If you know what your client want that they are not able to explain to you, I think that's a really good skill to have. It's a really important thing to have. It's brilliant. It makes your life easier, makes their life easier. Everyone's happy. Everyone got what they wanted in the end. Great. Yeah. I don't know how you can teach that, though. That's the problem.
That's not a very teachable skill. So that just means that I get to do a lot more of the strategy work and the visioning and things like that. And I'm kind of at the point right now where a lot of the doing of within WordPress and stuff, I'm starting to outsource that, which is hard too. It is really, really hard to take this business that I have grown from the ground up and piecemeal some of it off, because I need to focus on the bigger picture.
Yeah.
So that's been a transition, I'll tell you that.
I think that's a challenge for a lot of people, is to, you know, you're used to being the person who does everything and you wear a lot of hats, but there comes a time where you have to kind of let someone else do the job, and someone who can do it better than you or quicker than you, or just so you can focus on what you're best at, you know. Yep. It makes sense.
There's hundreds of people out there who can install WordPress and set up the environment the way you want it, so that you can go in and do the real work that can't be done by anybody else.
Yeah.
I don't need to be installing WordPress.
Yeah.
As much as it's easy and it's something that I can just do, and I don't need to be doing that, and I shouldn't be doing that. I should be focusing on the bigger items.
Of course.
And I love that about this, you know, this community, is that, you know, there are people who don't want to work with the clients. They just want to work with someone like me, or someone who wants a doer. you know, and, you know, they can really hone their skills as the doer and keep their plate full. And they don't have to actually do any of the strategy work, or, you know, they don't necessarily have as many opportunities to make mistakes. I mean, as someone who's, you know, guiding someone and giving strategy, I definitely have opportunities to make mistakes. But as somebody who is just implementing, it's a great place to be because you just do what you're told to do. And so that's one of the things I love about, you know, like the WordPress community, is that there are a lot of people out there who just want to do the work and say, hey, I did it, and, you know, get their paycheck. And I think that works. It works really well all around.
It's great. I mean, it clearly works for you. So I think it's brilliant. And you're right. it's how kind of any business works, isn't it? You get, you know, a person who's good at this and prefers doing this, and get a few more people like that, and collectively, you know, it's a good team, and it helps the business to grow, and ultimately your clients are happy. That's the most important thing, you know.
Exactly.
Get what they want. Yeah. So
do the clients get what they want, and do the clients give you the referral? I'm not going to, you know, sugarcoat it. You want that referral.
Yep. Who are you to complain about that? So
Exactly.
So then if we twist it around then, what is your biggest weakness and how do you overcome it?
Biggest weakness is giving up control.
How do I know that?
Didn't we just talk about this? I definitely giving up control. And it's, I think the biggest thing is when I actually document it, when I know that the person I'm giving this task to is following my script and they're not, you know, they're not going off their own thought processes or anything like that, that helps me stay in control of the project, but not in control of the details. So that's probably what I've been working on the most in the past year.
It's good that you kind of clarify that a bit more, because I wanted to ask you, like, what is the best way to kind of, you know, to deal with working with other people, passing on that task and giving them task and making sure they get the job done? You know,
yes.
It's something that, you know, a lot of people don't know how to do, because the first time you give something away to another person, it's like, what do I do? Do I micromanage him? Do I just have a call every hour and stuff like that? It's hard to know, really, isn't it?
It is hard. And, you know, I mean, I think I lean a little bit on my corporate experience, is that I would have a meeting once a week with my manager. And we would just kind of go through everything that I had done and everything that's coming up in the next week. And so it's that kind of thing there. And then when it's the actual work, it's, you know, whether I'm using a project management tool and just assigning it, you know, and leaving it in there, or if I'm giving them the step-by-step, I'll have that documented. Sometimes the easiest way to give a step-by-step is to throw your screen capture on and do it once, record it, and then not do it again, and let the person that you're contracting actually document it from your video, which is something that I've been instructed to do many times, and it's been very successful, which is, you know, like, okay, so I have a certain way of installing WordPress and getting the WordPress environment set up. I threw my screen cap on once and I documented that. And I basically, it was going through and making sure that we set up, you know, the homepage and the blog page and changing those settings and setting the permalinks and all of those little details that I just kind of do, because I was just capturing my screen and I was talking it through as I was doing it. I now know that that script is done because it's been documented by somebody else after watching my video. And it's just a task. It's just a task now. Okay. Someone needs to install WordPress, and okay, I'm assigning it to this person or that person. And I can feel confident because it's been tested. And, you know, the first time someone does it, maybe I'll be watching over their shoulder, or virtually watching over their shoulder. But the second, third, and 20th times, no, you don't need to.
Just like anybody, isn't it? Just like any new employees, or in any situation, the first time, the first day, you know, it might be a bit shaky, but then after a while, once they get the hang of it and they try it a few more times, it will just be a smooth process. And I think your example of using a video on how to do a certain task and pass it on to them, I think that's brilliant. I mean, you can't fail with that. You know, if you copy second by second of how to do a certain task with your video, your way, and your style, you know, how can you go wrong with that? I think it's
exactly
great.
Exactly. And you know, like nowadays, I mean, there's so many tools out there that you don't even have to have screen software on your computer. You can use web-based tools to do short videos and things like that as well. You don't even need to have a complicated screen capture. You don't have to produce those videos. I mean, I'm a geek. I told you that. I'm a techie. I like to produce the videos. I like to put, you know, the highlight on, you know, on the cursor so that you can see where the cursor is and stuff like that. But it's not necessary.
Yeah.
It's just not. So I'm trying my best. And it's fun. It's fun. It really is.
You're doing a good job. Don't worry. You sound like you're doing well.
I am. I'm really happy. I'm really, like, I've honed in on where I need to be, what I need to be doing, and how to grow and scale, because I wanted to get out of that freelance mindset. And that was, again, I mean, you kind of caught me at a really good time where I'm no longer feeling like I'm a freelancer. I'm really like a business owner. Yep. And that was an interesting transition. It took a while to kind of feel like it. But it's a matter of not taking on a job because you can do it, taking on a job because it makes sense. You know, like, again, I'm going back to those Facebook groups. You know, someone's like, hey, I need someone who can help me install a plugin. Back in the freelancer days, and I'm sure everybody in the audience who's a freelancer is like, yeah, I'm raising my hand right now, you know, because they know they can do it. And that's the freelancer mindset. I can do it, but I know I shouldn't do it. And so I'm no longer raising my hand.
Wow. Okay. You've gone past that stage now. You're a whole new level. So not pretty. That's pretty impressive. And here's the next point, and you know, he's kind of round up the whole interview, and we get sentimental about it, is what are you most proud about with your business?
Oh, definitely the transition. Definitely transitioning from freelancer to CEO. That's kind of what I call it, is, you know, is like really taking something that I'm good at, which is, you know, the WordPress and the integration and all of those things, and finding a nice tidy package to produce. I mean, when I produce summits, it's a 12-week engaging long process with the client, and it's intense. And so being able to focus on one client for that and being able to really use my skills in a way that is tangible for the client. And I don't find that now I have websites. I create a website for a client. They're using that website. And, you know, back when I was a freelancer, if someone might hire me to do a website and then they didn't have any strategy, so they never used it. So I feel like I'm doing a lot of good for my clients and their audiences.
Wow. That's brilliant. I love that. That's really cool. And it's so obvious that you're passionate about it. You love what you're doing. And, you know, you've gone through a lot of steps in your life career to get to where you are right now, and it's brilliant. I think it's really cool. So, and I think there's a lot of things that, you know, even I'm learning from you, and I'm sure even the listeners are even learning from you as well, which is, I think it's brilliant. So, no, well done. It's just brilliant. I really like that.
Thank you. I'm excited to stay in touch with you and your listeners and stuff. And I love the podcasting environment and the podcasting communities. And so this has just been a true honor to be able to kind of share my journey. And, you know, being that I've been in this space for, you know, 7 years, kind of feels like a long time. I won't lie. It feels like a long time, but it's a good space to be in.
No, I appreciate you sharing your story and your journey. It's brilliant because, you know, there's a lot of things that people can pick up from that. However small it is or big it is, there's something there. And I think it's brilliant. So, you know, just to round it up and everything, and, you know, I really do appreciate your time and effort to being here. If anyone wants to connect with you, where can they find you?
Well, I'm not creative, so my website is virtualsummittech.com. I didn't beat around the bush with that. And with my name being Jamie, I wanted to go away from actually having my name in my domain because there's so many different ways to spell it. So yeah, virtualsummittech.com. I'm on Facebook at Virtual Summit Tech. My Twitter is still simply Jamie, and Jamie spelled J-A-I-M-E. But yeah, that's my Twitter handle. That's my first website was simply Jamie. So it's just what you see is what you get. So you
well,
can
I mean,
me there,
I'll make it easier for the listener. I'll put the link in the show notes. And if they want to find you, they can find it then from there, and they'll access you. And hopefully they can
Perfect.
Connect with you as well. So it won't be
Perfect.
A problem.
Yes, absolutely.
But no, again, and thank you for your time again, and I appreciate it, and hopefully we can talk again soon.
I would love that. Thank you so much for having me on the podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Ignite Rap podcast. I hope you have enjoyed the show. And if you want show notes, all you have to do is visit igniterock.com/podcast. And don't forget also to leave a review on iTunes if you have enjoyed the show. It would make me a very happy guy, and I would really, really appreciate it. In the meantime, let's rock with WordPress.